so easy.
Right over there, Brodsky.
Hello.
Take it away.
Okay, so 3 months ago, my phone, I had to pay my bill. Basically, no, 6 months ago, my credit card, someone got my digits and bought something, so I had to cancel it and switch credit cards.
Someone that you, that's...
I don't know who it is. Someone in Israel. So I had to call the credit card company and switch credit cards. But the credit card that I had originally was on file with Golan. And Golan, they don't take other credit cards. So I had to just pay my bill with that credit card. Then every month I was paying my bill with a different credit card. Then 3 months ago they decided they're not taking American credit cards anymore. So I had to figure out how to pay my bill, didn't have a way to pay it. And my phone stopped calling America about 2 months ago, right before we left to Europe, like about 2 weeks before we left. So I said, okay, you know what, I'll deal with it when I come back. I happened to go into Cellular Israel, to the store over here by Beis Israel. First time I went there, I couldn't find them because they switched locations right then, so I didn't know where they were. And then that was number one. And after Pesach, I decided to go into there again and try to work with them. I was there for about an hour. Then they couldn't pull up my account in their system. And then I went in there again the next day. They said they were able to pull it up, and they realized that all my information that they put in when they came down to Yeshiva was wrong. Spelled my name wrong, put my passport in wrong, this, that. Then when they finally got my information, I called, their credit card's not working. They put it on their credit card and we paid them, and then that's how it works. So I came back here, and then I decided, okay, I'll call Golan. I called Golan yesterday. They weren't open. I don't know why. So I called them today, and then I figured out that I tried paying my bill with my credit card, which, number one, I have like an extra fee now because I didn't pay it. So they charge you another 70 shekel or whatever because you didn't pay it. So I tried paying it with my credit card, and then I realized that my credit card shut down because I came to Israel. It was a new credit card, and I didn't tell them I was coming to Israel. And then when I called them up to tell them, I called up the credit card company, they said that they don't, this is a true story by the way, they said they can't identify me unless I fax them in, I gave them my license, my social, my passport, everything. They said they won't believe it's me unless I fax in all that information to them. So that's what I'm up to now. So I'm like, okay, you know what? This is how it is. Nothing to do about it.
And he's still smiling.
Was that after the charges?
I have the charges and I have to pay the charges. But that's how...
But were the charges that weren't the right charges? Was that after or before you gave them all your information?
Free service for
no, two different things. The credit card company and then there's...
Okay, folks, here we go. I would like to discuss a little bit of some Amunabad story that has to do with this week. Parsha, it's a very important story. This is a story which we're going to share for you, those of you that would like to keep it. It's a photocopy from the Sefer Yalkut Lekach Toy, beautiful Sefer. I suggest you buy it. And he brings from here, from someone named Rabbi Mendelssohn, Binyamin Mendelssohn, Harav HaGoyin Rav Mendelssohn. He was famous for being the Moira de Asra of a Moshav called Moshav Koimimias. Any of you ever heard of Moshav Koimimias? Now they're famous for their matzahs. A lot of people buy their matzahs from Moshav Koimimias, but they were originally famous because they are a religious Moshav. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a religious moshav, which means the people that live there are all religious. So that means that this is a moshav that keeps Shemitah, Shabbos of the Eretz, Shabbos of Eretz. I was there in the moshav. Let me tell you how beautiful this was. I was there during Shemitah. You walk in, the fields are totally, totally empty. There's no one there. And you go into the Beis Medrash. And they're all in the Beis Medrash. These are farmers. The Beis Medrash is packed with farmers. They're all sitting there learning. It is unbelievable. I saw it with my own eyes. It's phenomenal. Koimimias is synonymous with keeping Shemitah, is Koimimias. Okay? We got three not shaykh stories about Koimimias right here. Two of them, the Brisker Rav said, you have to tell people about this story. That's how great the story is. He told the Rav of Koimimias, Rav Binyamin Mendelssohn, you have to tell, this is the language, this is a quote. This is something that he wrote himself. The Rav of Koimimias wrote this down. This is a direct quote from him. We're going to tell you. Now, why am I telling you about this now? This week's Parashah, Parashas Bahar, speaks about Shemitah. Not Inyan. Shemitah. Etzel Har Sinai is a Rashi in this week's parasha. So we're going to talk about Shemitah, and we're going to talk about what happens during Shemitah. And the reason why, these are all Ashkacha Pratis stories, because the whole idea of Shemitah is what?
Zemunah.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in control. Anything can happen. We like to think that we're in control. We like to think that we're the ones that make things happen. But when we take a year off of Shemitah, we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in control. So listen to these three amazing stories. These are from Rabbi Yamin Mendelssohn, the Murad Asr, the Rav of Koyman Mias. He says the following story. This is in year Tuf Shin Yud Beis. Can anyone figure out what year that is in English? How many?
72. 60, 63. 51. So what year was that?
What is going on?
1952.
I was 63 years now.
I was around 3 years old then. Aloha yachitim lizroya. They didn't have wheat to plant. They had to plant wheat, the kernels. We didn't want to use kernels of Shemitah, and that's all there was in the market. We got some of these like really like pathetic old seeds from a year ago. He writes, they were broken, they were full of worms, and no one would ever plant these things.
This is the year after Shemitah.
This is the year after Shemitah. So there was an Avrich by the name of Yechiel who was in charge of agriculture there, and he said, what should we do? I mean, we just finished Shemitah. So I said, if we don't have any other chitin, that's a halacha de chitin, we're just going to have to plant these. He said, everyone around us, there, it's a moshav, it's right near all the other moshavs. There's lots of moshavim right around there. They all
is this stories that happened in the moshav?
This is a story written by the Rav of the Moshav. This is written, this is his exact language. If you read it, happened in the Moshav. He said, everyone around was laughing at us. You're joking. He said, you're causing a loss of tens of thousands of dollars. Because you're not going to get any tfu. You're not going to get any, there's not going to be any crop. But, he said, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, this is what we're doing. It says that year there was no rain in the beginning of the winter. So everyone else, they planted all of their seeds, and they at the end of Shavuos, earlier than us because they're doing it during Shemitah. So everything in the ground rotted and nothing took hold. So all of the fields around Koyman Mias rotted and didn't have a crop. But our field, we didn't plow the field during Shemitah, so our field was very hard. So the seeds didn't go into the field, they didn't rot, stayed on the surface until it rained. And somehow, Nasu plois bechitin ashvuim, and bizman shekol asiv lo hayavul, everything around us didn't have any type of produce at all. We had special bracha, the Shomrei Shavuos. We ended up having money, having food, having produce, and having income. That's story number one. Story number two, which is the craziest story, is like this.
Let's do that third.
Story number two is that Koyman Mias, it was a year right around the time, it was during Shemitah, right around Shemitah, there's certain things that a person is allowed to plant or take out of the field. We're not going to go into all the details. Kitzer, there was a locust plague. Now, locust plagues totally decimate the crop. So the locust plague was approaching. It was, you know, sweeping through the country. The people in Koyman Mias came to the Rav Mendelssohn and said, what are we going to do? And Rav Mendelssohn said, listen, this is what he wrote. He said, Amarti nir Yeshua Hashem Yisbarach b'Shemitah.
will be zoicha to anes this Shemitah. And an entire swarm of locusts came all the way up to the border of Kaimamias, surrounded Kaimamias, but did not step into the fields. So the fields of Kaimamias were protected from this swarm of locusts, which means that their crops weren't destroyed. Everything else around it was decimated. When he told this story to the Briskerov, he said, "You have a chiyuv to be mefarsim a story. You have to tell everyone about the miracle that happened for the people in Kaimamias." Last story. The story is about in the year Tufshin Yud Zion. When was that?
57.
That the JNF. You know what the JNF is? What does it stand for?
Jewish National Fund,
I think it is. They like to plant trees and things like that. They decided that they're going to give orchids. They're going to give pardesim to many different yishuvim, kibbutzim. And one of them decided they chose Kaimamias.
It's not good, these things, the orchards. It's not good.
You make money. Orchards is, no, they were going to give them vines, things.
Oh, it is good.
It's very good.
Orchards are good.
You're going to make money. But Reb Mendelsohn said, "We'll only take it on condition that you agree to keep Shemitah."
They said no.
If you agree to keep Shemitah, you do it. You don't agree to keep Shemitah, you don't do it. So it was a year or so on and off. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Finally, he sat down with the person who was the donor. His name was Vygotsky, whoever that is. And he said to him, "Listen, Shemitah is very important to us. I appreciate the fact that you want to bring us a pardes, but we only want to keep Shemitah." And he said, "Fine, you keep Shemitah." He agreed. Came Shemitah. And the owner of this orchard came to the Rav and said, "Listen, I want to tell you something. If we do not water the fields properly, this entire orchard is going to die. It's going to be thousands of dollars down the drain. We put in so much money, we invested into building this orchard here in Kaimamias. If we don't put money in, it's going to die. And the way that you have the program that you've set up for Shemitah is just not good enough. And we can't do it." And Rabbi Mendelsohn said, "Look, it is what it is. You know, this is Shemitah. We feel very strongly about it. We want to keep Shemitah." Person, he committed to that beforehand. There's nothing he could do. So he left. Soif Menachem Av. In the end of Menachem Av, which is the end of the year, the person who's in charge of the pardes came to Rav Mendelsohn and said, "I have 12 other pardesim around the country. All of them I work during Shemitah. All of them. The only one that I didn't work during Shemitah is Kaimamias. Somehow Kaimamias is reaping more crops than all the other ones. So it doesn't make any sense." So he asked to Mendelsohn, "How do you explain this to me?" And he said, "The first animamin is animamin shashem yisparach levadoi oise yase lechol hamasin. Hashem does everything, including our pardes. If you believe in that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make anything happen." That's the story. So that's an intro to the first animam in which Nassim's going to be sharing with us on Monday. The idea is as follows, and this is, I think, is a very powerful idea that we have in Shemitah, which we have to understand, we have to know. Is that a lot of times there's two different approaches how a person can try to deal with the situation. One approach is he can try to be practical and try to figure out, let's see what's successful, what's going to be practical, what makes sense. Another way is the approach is trying to figure out what's the Ratzon Hashem. It's a whole different approach. Afterwards, we kind of try to figure out how we're going to make this work. The first thing is, what does Hashem want from me? And then I got to figure out how I'm going to make it work. Or I got to figure out how this is going to work. And then I got to see, you know, how can I, you know, somehow, you know, get that to be in line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Those are two totally different approaches to religion. The Jewish approach to religion is Na'aseh V'Nishma. What does Na'aseh V'Nishma mean? I'm going to do it. And then afterwards I'm going to figure out how. I don't know how, but I'm going to do it. That's Na'aseh V'Nishma. I'm doing it. The foundation of Na'aseh V'Nishma is Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I trust that you're going to make sure this happens. How? It might be a miracle. But if you're telling me this is what I have to do, you're telling me this is what has to happen, so then I'm in, because I trust you. A lot of times, a person has to figure out his approach in everything that happens in his life. A person has to figure out, as far as life decisions, as far as a decision in a job, what he's going to do. When he starts a job, does he start with, I got to figure out, how am I going to feed my family, how am I going to make sure I have parnas, or I got to figure out, what does Hashem want? Then afterwards, I got to figure out, how am I going to feed my family? Well, if Hashem wants me to do this, I'm sure He's going to take care of me. What Shemitah teaches us is, we got to figure out what the Ratzon Hashem is. That has to be our focus. We have to figure out what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. Kodesh Baruch Hu will take care of the rest. Kodesh Baruch Hu can take care of the rest. As long as we're on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's side, He'll take care of it. And that's trust in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shemitah says, I'll do it. A whole year you're not working? How are we going to eat? There's all the food in the entire country. There's no one's making any food. You can't import pashkis from New York. You can't bring in pretzels or anything. There's no food. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll take care of you. That's what Shemitah teaches us. Shemitah teaches us to have Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a mashal, which maybe we said before, from the Dubna Magid. You'll remind me if we said this mashal before. Which is, there was once a person, it was an old man. He was a peddler. He used to travel from town to town with his wares. And he would sell all different, little tchotchkes. Hebrew, they call them shmontzas. I don't know why they call them that. Tchotchkelos. Yeah. So he was walking from one town to another town. He's carrying this big bag over his shoulder. And it's a sweltering hot day like today. And he's got to walk. It's a good 2 hours from the first town to the next town. He's got this long trip with this bag on his shoulder. And this carriage goes rumbling by. And it drives right by him, and then the carriage stops, makes that screeching sound, and the owner of the carriage is in the back, you know, in this very nice coach. He sticks his head out and he says to him, "Rav Yid, where are you off to?" So he said, "I'm just going to the next town." He said to him, "So let me take you. I'm happy to take you." So this peddler is very thankful. You know, he was expecting to have to walk the entire way, and now he has a ride. He'll get there and, you know, much quicker and be taken care of. He's sitting there in the coach with this very wealthy man. You know, he's not so comfortable sitting next to him, but sitting there and they're making some conversation. After a few minutes, the wealthy man realizes that the peddler is still holding his sack on his shoulder. So he says to him, you don't have to hold the sack on your shoulder. You could put it on the floor of the coach. So the peddler said back to him, he said, "Listen, I appreciate it enough that, you know, I don't have to walk and that you're taking me to the next town. You have to carry my bag also." "My bag I'll carry. I'm happy that you're taking me." So the owner of the coach said, "It doesn't make any difference to me if it's on your shoulder or if it's on the floor. It's the same thing." So says the Chofetz Chaim, the Dubna Magid, Chofetz Chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we rely on for pretty much everything. For our health, we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For our life, we rely on everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Parnasa, all of a sudden, I got to take life, the world, into my own hands. I got to do my own thing. It's up to me. And a person, the kilo, like you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're taking care of me enough, I'll take care of myself on this one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of that also. He can take care of everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of everything. So if our approach to Parnasa is, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? then a Kodesh Baruch will take care of me. So one of the things we spoke about last month is the Kodesh Baruch wants ishtadlus. That's what a Kodesh Baruch wants. Then the question is, what is in the realm of ishtadlus and under ishtadlus? But all this basically boils down to amunah. What we're trying to integrate into a person's thought process is that everything depends on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu does that through the mitzvah of Shabbos. We work for 6 days. We don't work on Shabbos. The reason is because we realize our parnas is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The field has a Shabbos. Also to realize that whatever comes out of the crops is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is a reminder of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. That really we have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. Our job is just to work on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our job is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to invite us into the carriage. Once we're there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything else. That is really what, and the way we do that is through establishing a relationship with Hashem. Through the mitzvahs and whatever else it is. All that is just establishing that now we have created a relationship. Once we have that, Hashem will take care of us. That's the idea that Shemitah is supposed to, is the people that keep Shemitah, that's what it's supposed to teach them. The idea of Nasev and Ishmael. Kodesh Baruch Hu, we know that you're going to take care of everything. You want us to do it, we're going to. Okay, so we're gonna. Nothing's gonna be. Tomorrow we have Rabbi Cooper Smith. Monday we have. Thursday, I'm sorry, we have the Mashgiach. Sunday will be a Shmuz in the Beis Medrash. And Monday, Nothing's going to be doing Amun Arbad, the first Chabura that we have on the first Yisoid. Thank you all for coming.
Can I press the red button? Yuda, I passed the red button?